And now we go to the sewers. Kevin Fitzpatrick joins us right now. He is the Assistant Director of Engineering for the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. Hello, Kevin. How are you? Thanks for joining us.
I'm great. Thank you, John. I appreciate being here talking sewers on a Friday.
Yeah, right. Exactly. I think you know the reason we originally called you, about how we had been hearing from people that people noticed a little odor in the air. Chicago's a clean city, and we don't normally notice bad smells, but we've been hearing little reports of it. I haven't smelled it, neither has Pete and some others, so it must not be so prominent. And some people were wondering if perhaps it was because this lack of rain is not moving things along in the sewers as quickly as they can. You don't have to comment exactly if you know whether that's the case or not, but we just kind of wanted to dive into whether that could be true. Any thoughts?
Well, I'm not aware of any specific locations right now, but certainly that could be a contributing factor when, you know, when we have these prolonged dry periods without rain. There's a couple things that could happen. One is, the city of Chicago, it's highly urbanized. You have a lot of animals. You know, I walk my dog. I clean up number two, but I don't clean up number one. Clean up number two, right? So some of that stuff, we kind of count on the rain to sort of clean our streets, sidewalks, and other areas from trash and animal waste. And so some of the smell could be maybe due to that. But also when the sewers, Chicago, the city of Chicago and 50 or so of the suburbs have older combined sewer systems. So all these municipalities own their sewer systems, and then they – at the MWRD, we're more of a regional agency. We take the sewage and clean it. But in a combined sewer system, it's a very large sewer that's designed to also take rainwater in addition to waste from people's homes and businesses. So on dry periods, it's running very, you know, mostly empty. There's not a whole lot of flow compared to the size of the sewer. And without that rainwater, for prolonged periods of time, it can start to make it stagnant after a while. Sediment can start to settle out because they're not very, there's not a huge slope to these sewers. So the slower the water travels to us, the more opportunity it has to create odors.
Boy, I've never wanted it to rain so much as I did after you described that. So I just want to make sure I understand, and that was a very detailed answer, because some people were texting in saying, no, John, the rainwater goes in one pipe and the wastewater goes in another. You're saying that Chicago and a lot of the areas are in one essential pipe that's moving through. Maybe some other areas do have like a dual system?
Exactly. I can't, those people are exactly right. In the newer suburbs, they have what we call a separate sewer system where sanitary waste is in one set of pipes and stormwater is in another. But Chicago, our sewer system dates back to the 1850s when they hired an engineer named Ellis Chesbro to come in and design this system to help drain the swampy, old Chicagoland area. And that's actually, what he did was put the sewers right on top of the streets so that they actually could discharge to the nearest waterways without being pumped. That's when they raised the buildings. I don't know.
Right.
I think a lot of people that are historians of Chicago know about this, but not everybody. They actually raised the level of Chicago by 5 to 10 feet in downtown areas.
Yeah, it's a
to get back
story.
To your question. Yeah. So some areas have these separate sewers, but the older cities like Chicago have combined sewer systems.
Hey, sometimes when you get in the sewer, you don't know where the conversation's going to go. Although I also then want to know that. Do all pipes lead to one place where it's treated, or are there multiple places that take on all this sewage?
So there are multiple places. In Chicago, basically from 87th Street to Fullerton, that sewage would go to our Stickney Water Reclamation Plant. If you're south of 87th Street, and these are rough,
Yeah.
Borders here. It goes to our Calumet plant. And if you're north of Fullerton, it's going to our O'Brien Water Reclamation Plant, which is in Skokie. Now, the original sewers that were laid, like by the city of Chicago, at first they all discharged to the nearest waterway. They just went right there, as an open sewer. That was the idea. There was no sewage treatment even back then. So, that's kind of like in Les Mis, right?
When
the guy escapes through the sewer system, he ends up on the banks of the Seine. And a lot of people think like, well, why is he on the bank of the Seine? Did they really? Yeah, the waste just went out there. And that's what happened in Chicago as well. But then when MWRD was formed, At some point, we built intercepting sewers to collect that waste from each of those outfall locations and bring it to one of our treatment plants.
I did not have Les Mis on our bingo card of chatting about sewers today, but that was a great reference. Okay, just a couple like random questions. When it's raining a lot or storming, so many of us are fearful of being in the shower for electrocution. And I know that's not what the Reclamation District does because you guys take the water somewhere else. I believe you don't pump it into our homes, if I'm correct, right?
No, that's the City of Chicago Department of Water Management that does that.
Okay, but just generally speaking,
we only deal with the dirty stuff.
You get the dirty stuff. I guess, you know, I don't know if you have any comment about the electrocution in the shower water, whether it's a myth or not, but also the don't do your dishes or dishwasher and stuff too much because you guys have you got only so much water you can manage at a time. I don't know if you can dispel a couple of those myths.
Well, yeah, the electrocution one, I'm going to stay away from right now.
Okay.
All I know is from what I've seen in the movies where you don't want to be taking a bath and have, you know, something plugged in and fall in.
True. Always good to remind people of that, too. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. And it's important to have the ground fault interrupted circuits in your bathrooms, right? Mm-hmm. Modern electricity that will automatically shut it down if there ever was a surge. But we do have, I'm glad you brought up the dishwashing. So we have what we call overflow action days. And so another problem with these combined sewers is when we get too much rain, too little and too much, right? But when we get these extreme storms that we're seeing more frequently these days, you know, like a 100-year type event, or a 1 in 100% chance of 1% chance of occurring, it's just too much water is running off our streets and our homes into the sewer system, and it can overload these combined sewers. So we send out alerts when this type of an event may be coming, when we get a forecast for a really large storm, and we ask people to maybe hold off on washing their dishes during the storm if they can, or maybe hold off on flushing the toilet if they can, and that will help reduce the load to the sewer system.
Okay. We're chatting with Kevin Fitzpatrick, by the way, from the Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. Kevin, are you guys part of the projects of like replacing sewers over the years? I, if I'm remembering correctly, this has been a big undertaking because the sewers are old.
Yes, they're very old depending on where you're at. So, you know, the City of Chicago maintains their own sewer system as well, and they are responsible for, they have thousands of miles of pipe. The MWRD, where I work, we have approximately 560 miles of sewer in the entire Cook County region, and ours are mostly the very, very large ones that intercept flow from the city sewers, from the City of Chicago and the suburban sewer systems, and takes it to our plants. So we have a very aggressive program of rehabbing these pipes because once they get, you know, as they get older, the concrete could start failing and the, especially, you know, odorous gases also can corrode away sewers. So yeah, we have a pretty aggressive program of rehabbing sewers, which is very difficult in a highly built up environment and expensive as well, but something that needs to be done. Sewers are often out of sight, out of mind. For a reason, but we like to keep them that way so that they're working properly. And really, if they fail, that's when people notice.
They sure do. I'm kind of curious. I'm afraid to ask this question, but I'm going to go ahead and do it anyways because other people might be wondering. Without anything like tragic or encouraging, I don't want to encourage people to do anything silly. But do you guys find weird things in the sewers?
There are a lot of weird things that are found in the sewers.
Okay.
Yes.
What's some of the weirder things?
So, you know, like bowling balls, somebody had a bad game maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know why they, and you have to really make an effort to get it in there.
Yeah.
Taking up a manhole or something. But, that's kind of one of so sometimes we find these things at our treatment plants, and sometimes we find odd things as we're cleaning out sewers. Sometimes there's a clog. I actually was listening to your show earlier today, and I was happy to hear there's a commercial about not flushing you know, anything down the toilet other than, you know, toilet paper.
Right.
Those flushable wipes sometimes aren't flushable and they can cause clogs. But, you know, we've got money in the sewer system.
Oh, boy.
Kind of makes its way to our treatment plant and gets caught on the screens. Just all kinds of weird stuff, yeah.
Do you clean it off, put it in a jar?
I think, like, you know, usually it's a machine automated, and we don't really know what's coming up for the most part. But if somebody it happens to be somebody's lucky day and they see a $20 bill on the screen, they're welcome to take it.
Yeah, at that point, it's long gone. You ain't going to find who originally did that. Kevin, I'm fascinated by your job. You seem to really enjoy it. I said yesterday that I feel like modern plumbing or the, you know, dispatching of our water is something we really take for granted, but is an incredible modern invention.
It really is. I do love my job, John. It's as we like to say, it's a dirty job, but somebody's got to do it, right? It's the corny one. But it's, when you think about it, it's an enormous amount of waste material, right? That's generated every day. Every time somebody flushes a toilet or all the, you know, industrial waste, and this makes its way to our treatment plants, and we clean it to about 99% pure water and are able to put it back in the environment safely. And we recycle a good amount of the stuff that we take out, basically turning into nutrients that are used on farm fields and things like that.
Wait, so really? Like the waste you're able to separate from the liquid, and the waste you bring as like fertilizer and stuff for farms?
Yes, yes. The vast majority of it is basically, it's almost like after we finish processing it, it's similar to a very nutrient-rich dirt. Now, we do have a few, like the bowling balls and stuff like that ends up in a dumpster.
Right.
But almost everything else ends up going back to the environment, either as pure water or as fertilizer.
Wow. Do you sell the fertilizer out there, too, or is that given out for free?
It is. So we have several different programs. We give it to municipalities and they'll use it to like top off golf courses or for parklands or stuff like that. Actually, the Harborside golf course on the south side was built with a lot of our material.
Oh.
But for the most of it ends up going to farmlands, and we actually have to pay somebody to deliver it out there, and the farmers get it for free.
Oh, good for them.
Yeah.
And the water isn't turned, you said 99.9% or something clean or 99%. Is that then drinking water, or then are you able to put that into waterways to re-enter the natural water cycle?
Yes, yes. We put it back in the waterways to enter the natural waters. It eventually becomes drinking water for St. Louis and downstream communities. But we put it right back in the waterway. Everybody's, you know, somebody's downstream of us.
But
all
it's
the time, right?
You're right. I want to make a St. Louis joke. Just naturally, it just comes to mind.
Well,
what we're
might
sending
drink
them
it too, if you have some Budweiser, right?
Exactly. Oh man, this is some fascinating stuff, Kevin Fitzpatrick. All right. So just to recap, if anyone's joining us, while you can't definitively say anything about the smell in the air and whether people are smelling it or not, it could be a contributing factor. Without rain, it does sit there. It's not trickling. There's not a heavy flow through the pipes, and that could be a culprit.
Correct.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Well, I'm glad we cracked the case there. At least we think we did. Kevin Fitzpatrick, go ahead.
I was just going to say, and if it's a persistent problem, you know, it could be reported in the city of Chicago through 311 or going to our website. We have an incident reporting system you could Google.
Okay.
And that would be an issue. But if it's just a nuisance on a dry day, that could be very normal.
Should I say 321 and we all flush at the same time?
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. I won't do that then.
We like it spread out.
Okay, Kevin. Kevin Fitzpatrick, Assistant Director of Engineering, Metropolitan Water Reclamation District of Greater Chicago. Thank you, my friend, for your extra time today. We'll talk again, okay?
Yes. Thanks, John.